Namaste, and welcome to Out of the Tangled Web with Mia Johnson. Out of the Tangled Web has been an idea that's been in my mind for a very long time. If you go to my website, you'll see my accreditation. I can do so many things, and so I kind of boiled it down to Out of the Tangled Web, which does have sub-companies like 911 Relationship Rescue and Me, Myself, and Mia. But the basic message is to translate for people. Most people listen to each other. They hear each other, not in order to answer, but you're not in answer to the question that they're being asked, but they're already thinking of what their reply is going to be. So they kind of miss the content. And so many people don't understand that the world does not necessarily see them as they see themselves. And a lot of that has to do with neurolinguistics. Now, that's a big word. Neurolinguistics is the art and science of communication, and it's absolutely a fabulous thing for you to learn. Alan Greenspan once said, "I know you think you understand what you thought I said, but I'm not sure you realize that what you heard is not what I meant." And how often does that happen to you? Where you're talking to someone and you can kind of see their eyes glaze over. As a neurolinguistic, and I started out as a psychotherapist for 20 years, specialized in mood disorders, anxiety, and trauma, PTSD. I still do specialize in those areas. I do regressive hypnotherapy. But I'm a metaphysician, so I'm a licensed professional counselor in Texas. I am also a distance certified counselor, and I am a board certified coach. I'm going to say, excuse me for my rasp. This is Texas, and allergies are rampant. So I have my honey right here. Hold on. There you go. One of the reasons why I wanted to do this first show is that although many of the people that will tune in know me from some of my social sites, LinkedIn or Facebook or Twitter, wherever, and they know that I'm just Mia. You know, people have filters. I don't really have filters. I listen objectively because I don't have a horse in the race. And I repeat back to the person what it is that they just said. And we find out whether or not they're congruent with what they think they said. And I'm a storyteller, a City Irish storyteller. And if you don't know what City Irish is, go to my website. I'm going to have a page to explain it. And that's http://www.outofthetangledweb.com. And as a storyteller, I like to listen to stories. I like to tell them. I use them as metaphors in order to help people realize their perspective. We all have maps in our head that when we're first born, the assumption is that it's a clean slate, that it has nothing written on it yet. Although there are some people who defy that logic because they come into the world knowing how to play a musical instrument or knowing how to do something that they would have no way of knowing how to do. And these are people that they call them child prodigies. Really, whether you believe in reincarnation or not, the one thing that you have to accept is the fact that we are energy. The bodies that we are in this lifetime are just containers. They are containing the essence of our energy. And our energy goes on. Energy can't be destroyed. It can only be transformed. So whatever your beliefs, you transform from when this body no longer serves your purpose, you transform to another form of energy. And according to your beliefs, it could be reincarnation, it could be heaven, it could be purgatory. The most important thing is that you need to check the maps in your mind. And I'm going to tell a quick little story. I promised myself I wasn't going to get into storytelling, but I really feel like I need to tell this one in order for people to truly understand. This story was a story that I was taught by the person who taught me my master's in neurolinguistics. And he was a trout fisherman. He was walking through the woods. And he saw a body of water that I guess to a trout fisherman looked like it would be a good place to fish. So he made a mental note. He didn't have time right then. But he made a mental note to himself that when he had a few days, that he would go back and he would fish there. So time went on, and he finally got the time that he needed to go back. And so he thought he would be very logical about it, and he went to the library, and he had a map printed out. And he set off with all of his fishing equipment in his car, and he was following the map, and everything went very, very well up until he came to a point in the road where a tree had fallen across the road. And it looked like on the other side, it wasn't something recent, it looked like on the other side that the land was beginning to go back to nature. But he didn't let that deter him. He climbed over the roots of the tree and he kept walking through the woods. And according to his map, he was about to come into a large meadow where once there was a large meadow. However, there had been flooding. And so now that large meadow was nothing but beaver dams. Well, he wasn't going to let that deter him either, even though as he walked across, he sweated and probably cursed a little bit, fell through once or twice until he finally got to the other side. The mosquitoes were eating him. He was tired, sweaty. He sat down on a log, and he was going to take a breath. And as he was sitting there, he heard a noise, and it was the sound of a car on gravel. And then doors opening and like children laughing and everything else. And he had no idea where it was coming from. So he got up and he walked just a little further over another ridge. And there was a picnic area that was built there next to a highway that had been built. And he said, oh, my goodness, he goes, this isn't as it should be. Then he looked at his map, and the map said, copyright 1929. That's what happens to our perspectives. As we grow, when we're children, first we listen to our parents and our family, and then when we go to school, we listen to our teachers, our friends. We listen to religious instructors. We listen when we grow up to the working world, we listen to a lot of people's perspectives. And out of those perspectives, we pick and choose what it is that we believe. But what if what you believe isn't true? And the decisions that you're making are being made on a map that was copyrighted, well, maybe not 1929, but at some point in your history, somebody told you something or you were taught something. Because when we first come into the world, we think we're wonderful. We're perfect. We're blank slates to be written on. But then we have to process all the information that we receive, all the experiences we have. And everyone has their own map. Even if you're twins and you've spent most of your life next to each other, you still have your own map because you may have interpreted something that you saw or heard slightly differently. And so, again, when you are trying to get your message across, and that's what spiritual healing is all about. That's what your journey is about. It's about what is your purpose? Why are you here? And that's what Out of the Tangled Web was designed to help you find. I'm a guide. I'm a storyteller. I do not solve your problems. I guide you to possibilities in your perspective that might help you solve your problems. In neurolinguistics, there is no such thing as a mistake or a failure. Everything is a lesson. And that's also true about storytelling and fables and mythology. There's always a story. There's always a story, a lesson behind one of them, and you have to listen for it. And I listen to other people. I enjoy listening to other people's stories. It tells me more about them. Now, I was born an empath, and everybody might say, "Oh, yay, that's really cool." Well, yeah. As an adult, it certainly helps in my profession. But when I was a child, I didn't know that I was hearing things that people hadn't actually said out loud. It's what they felt or what they thought. And I would hear it as clear as if it was said out loud. Caused many an argument, you know, where I'd say, "You said such and such," and they'd say, "I didn't say that." And finally, as an adult, I realized, all right, you didn't say it, but you thought it. So when I walk into a room with a lot of people and they all have their auras, their energy, because we're all energy and we return to energy and we emit energy, and our energy sometimes gets blocked. So we have several different methods. As I said, you can look at my accreditation page, look at all the things I do. But what I am offering is to be a guide, a mentor, to be a storyteller, to help you discover. Everyone has a gift. Everyone. No one is left out. The thing is that some people never discover what their gift is. And if they do discover what their gift is, sometimes they don't do anything to develop it. I've spent my life pursuing different educational opportunities that would enhance my ability to be an empath and to understand. I can read body language. I can walk into a house of someone that I'm working with, or even when I talk to them on the phone after a while when I get to know them, I can hear it. I can hear things in people's voices. And so we perceive. It's not only how the world sees you, but it's also how you see the world. And it is very, very important to look at your maps, learn, be open. There's a book by Don Miguel Ruiz called The Four Agreements. It's an excellent book in order for you to get yourself, say, prepared for a spiritual path. because we have inside ourselves, as a result of our programming, we create a judge. That's everything everybody ever told you, no, you shouldn't do that, or that isn't the way it's done, or that's not allowed. And so we have a judge in our head. The thing about it is that we also have a victim in our head, okay? The victim is the person who doesn't understand exactly where they stand with the other person. It may be a misunderstanding, a misconcept. It might be words that they don't understand. You have to be very careful to make sure that you are very clear in what you're projecting. I do some hypnosis. I do regression. I do post-traumatic stress and sexual abuse and trauma, regressive hypnotherapy. And what I do with people when I'm working with them from my website, if they don't have Skype and we're not using Skype and looking at each other, then I will talk to them and then develop an MP3 to send to them that will help them to be able to go back. Everything, our mind is like a computer that never turns off. Even when you're sleeping, you know, did you ever dream about an airplane? Because in real life, there was an airplane flying over your house. Or you dream that you have to go to the bathroom because your body is telling your brain, you have to go to the bathroom, so you dream about it. I do dream interpretations. I love it. So much about people's personalities comes through in their dreams. Particularly if you have a repetitive dream, I'm not going to categorize because it's different for everybody, but for example, if you feel that you're falling, if falling is one of your bad dreams, usually falling is a sign of feeling like you don't have control. When I was younger, I always dreamed that I was going to be hit by a tidal wave. I live in Central Texas. It would have to be an awful big tidal wave to get to me here. But that was my dream, that a tidal wave would come and I would see it coming, know I couldn't do anything about it, and just wait for it, and then I would, once I was hit by the tidal wave, I would wake up. Well, I think that anxiety and panic attacks are very similar to that. For people who experience anxiety, for people who experience depression, post-traumatic stress, or any of those things, when you have an episode, I call them episodes, that's when your body is not in harmony with itself. We can talk, at a later time about chakras, because I do chakra clearing. I do Reiki. Reiki is a non-touching energy scan of a person, and the majority of Reiki that's done is physical Reiki. They are looking for like an illness or maybe arthritis or something in the person's body. I, on the other hand, because I am an empath, it's not that I can't feel something in somebody else's body, but the majority of the time, I feel the blockage in the chakra that's involved, whether it's the heart chakra or the solar plexus chakra. And again, these are all things that I talk about on my website, give workshops, do groups, do one-on-one with people. It's basically getting to know who you are, because the truth is if you don't know who you are, and that is one of the biggest things that needs to be done. If we look in our world around us, you know, they say, you know, we learn our wisdom from our lessons. That means usually we don't learn them right away, really early. But it would be a good idea if we taught our children, you know, teach Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, teach your children well. And that's a very good song to refer back to. It's like, understand that they do not understand your world. You do not understand theirs. You can try, but never having experienced some of the things that in their maps are there. I think a good example of that is this weekend I got totally hooked, really, on this whole thing about Hitler. Hitler the junkie, Hitler and the occult, Anne Frank's Holocaust Part 1, Anne Frank's Holocaust Part 2. And again, there were so many people that their perspectives were channeled into this idea that Hitler procreated, you know, the superior race. And again, did they come to that idea by themselves? No. That was brought to them by Hitler in his book Mein Kampf, and it made him a millionaire. And yet he always projected himself as a man of the people. Very often, I know that I go on Facebook. I am not a political person. I think they're all alike, you know. But I see already that the people are starting to make political comments. And I'm like, oh, God, not yet. We still have a year to go. I don't want to hear this. I don't want to go there. I just, you know, save it. The important thing is we are not the people that our ancestors were. And that's a shame that I have to say that, but it's the truth. Where is the energy that created the Boston Tea Party? Where is the energy that created the Revolutionary War? You know, where is the energy that created the Civil War? You know, all these people were visionaries. They had an idea. Now we have a lot of people who make commentaries. They have an opinion about, oh, this and that, and it's this book. And most of the time I listen to them, I don't get into conversations with them because I don't know what I'm talking about. And half the time, I don't think they know what they're talking about either. But the one thing that I do know, because history was one of my undergraduate degrees, is that a president does not have the ability to do anything on his own. Oh, sure, he can veto it, but Congress can override that. There's a Senate and a Congress that have to agree on anything before it becomes real. So people, let up on whoever it is that becomes president, because understand, they're in the position where everybody says, oh, well, they brought this about. But a lot of times what they're doing is taking over the result of problems that happened in a different administration, such as the economic situation that we're going through now. Again, to the despair of both my parents, my father was the president, vice president of the bank, and my mother ran a credit union. I have never balanced a checkbook in my life. I can remember one time sitting with my mother and her trying to get me to balance my checkbook, and it was like 2 cents off, and I just finally just said, I'll just give you the 2 cents. And she was like, no, you have to find it. I have never balanced a checkbook. I check my bank balance every day. I see what I have outstanding. I subtract it, and I figure how much money I've got left. That's just the way my mind works. Other people are very meticulous about their finances. So what happens when you're trying to discuss finances with your children, for example? I have a lot of experience working with children and families. I am a certified relationship specialist, and I am a certified mediator. I do divorce and child custody mediation. I'm an expert witness in the state of Texas. And when we go into court, everyone has their own agenda, but you always have to remember the agenda that counts is the person that you're there for. And in life, in our work, our spiritual work, when we're working with you, we're there for you. We have no horse in the race. There's nothing for us to win or lose. I can remain objective, and I can listen to you. And then after you've told me, like if you're having a problem or if you're having a blockage, something's worrying you or something's, you know, making you sad, I listen. And then when you're done, you know, sometimes I might ask a question in the middle if I'm a little bit unclear. But when you're done, I will then repeat back to you what it is that I heard you say. Now, so often, especially when I work with couples, because I make them go one at a time, and you know, I say, I don't really care which one of you goes first. You know, just pick one. But the rule is that while one is talking, the other one can't. Shh. Nothing. Shh. So whoever goes first, usually it's the wife, but whoever goes first starts telling me, so what's going on in your life? Why are you here? Why have you come to me? What can I help you with? And they start telling me everything. Meanwhile, their partner is like shifting in their chair and humming and, you know, almost breaking into, you know, the fact that they want to talk. And I go, shh, you'll have your turn. Shh. Wait till the first person starts to slow down and go, is that everything? Usually there's one or two more things they might add, but then finally they'll go, okay, yeah, I think that just pretty much covers it. I said, okay, now remember, the same rules apply for you that applied for the other person. You can't say anything. You can't react. And then I turned to the other person who, for the amount of time that the other person was talking, they were preparing their answer. So they are expecting me to turn to them and say, so why don't you tell me what your perspective is of what's going on? I don't ask that. I say, what did she just say? uh-oh, because they were paying attention to how they were going to answer. They were thinking of all the times that they could refute that, and you sit there. But they'll give it a good try. You go, okay, well, I heard her say this and this and this and this. Now, the other person is like moving in the chair going, what? I go, shh. And when we're all done and everyone's allowed to talk, one of the partners will say, I didn't say that. And I would say to them, that's what they heard. Regardless of what you say, it's what people hear. And that's why I decided to bring my practice online, not just to help people, but also to help professionals to realize, are they getting their message across? Are they showing how they're unique? I, again, refer you to my accreditation page. I gave you my website. I have many interests. I'm a metaphysician. I do chakras and Reiki and hypnosis. I'm also a scientist. I'm a therapist. I'm a coach. I'm a mediator. I'm a relationship specialist. I teach parenting. I teach anger management. For 7 years, I worked for the state, and I helped people with their employment and education goals. These are all things that I can help people with. I do mention, again, that I work with mood disorders. So if somebody's having a panic, here I go, another story. I had a client who was in a car accident, and they were blindsided. And ever since they were blindsided, she couldn't drive. She would panic and pull over to the side of the road, and she would just be stuck there having a panic attack until they called me to work with her. Now, in her particular instance, I decided that I was going to use EFT, which is also called tapping. And what you do is there's a sequence of tapping on the pulses, your forehead, by the sides of your eyes, you know, all the way down. And you do positive affirmations, and you learn how to bring that anxiety level down. But often, the anxiety is based on something that may have happened prior. That's true of many things in our life. We don't know why something upsets us so much. But if you sit down with someone who's a guide, someone who has pretty much seen it all, maybe not done it all, but has read, heard, seen, and I have to be honest, I wasn't an angel of a teenager. I may have done many of the things. And the old age adage of the mother's curse is absolutely true. Don't worry, you will have children who will be just a little bit worse than you. I thought, well, that's not possible, you know. And then I had children, and they grew up, and they surprised me. Yes, it was possible to surprise me. I wasn't as aware of everything as I thought I was. So I had to learn to understand. You know, my eldest son, he is a tattoo artist, very good. And he always used to say to me, when he got older, he would say, how did you know when I was lying? And I said, oh, I'm not going to tell you, because then you'll know when you're lying to me now, then you'll know, you know, how I know. And he's like, no, no, tell me and everything. And I said, all right. You know, I said, when you lie to me, I said, you squint your eyebrows together, like, in a, you know, where you make a crease between your eyes. I said, and it lets me know that you're not telling me the truth. So the very next time that he tried to lie to me, I said to him, you're lying. And he was very indignant. And he said, what do you mean I'm lying? He goes, I'm not doing that with my eyes. And I said, no, now you're keeping your eyes wide open so that you don't have any crease between. It's not a natural pose. I said, so I know that you are introducing what you think is a measure that's going to let me know that you're not lying. But the measure itself gave me the information. I work a lot with people who are in relationships where I think, again, we are not the people our ancestors were. We need to speak up. We need to get together. We need to talk to one another. We need to understand one another. I think that, don't let me get into politics, but I think that part of the problem with politics is that, one, everybody has their own agenda, and two, they don't really listen to the other person because it isn't coherent with the agenda that they have. So when you're dealing with kids, I was a cognitive behavioral therapist. I guess I still am, although I really don't do therapy anymore. I do mentoring or I do coaching. Sometimes I just see someone once or I just talk to them once, and we come to the conclusion of whatever was bothering them. Sometimes I open doors that makes them think, and they can't wait to come back and explore what they've discovered based on a new perspective, and we go deeper. But when I worked with teenagers, being cognitive behavioral, I was like, I am very much opposed to pharmaceutical drugs being given to children. I believe in natural healing. Every pharmaceutical drug is basically a synthetic form of heroin. And you have to be 18 to have a drug tested on you. So giving it to children is pretty much hit or miss. And at least in the 20 years that I've been a therapist, many of the psychiatrists, there was a period of time where all of a sudden everybody was attention deficit. And I would work with the children. And after a session or two, I would say to the parents, I said, they're no more attention deficit than I am. I said, what they have is a behavioral problem. And that's what happens with a lot of people, that they don't know how they look to other people. And that's my job. My job is to help them be able to see how other people see them, and in turn, with the hopes that they will be able to change how they see themselves and be able to reach the goals. Everyone should have a 5-year plan. You know, when you say to someone, you know, well, where do you expect to be in 5 years? You have no idea. Well, if you have no idea where you're going or what you feel is your purpose in life, are you not wandering the territory of your map aimlessly? are you not learning anything? See, there's many, I am a wanderer. I have the curiosity of a cat. I have always been a wanderer, even when I was a small child. I'm always curious. I didn't have internet back then, but I probably would never have gotten off of it because I can think of a subject and say, oh, let me see, let me look that up, and everything else. But not all who wander are lost. Some are curious. Some are in the midst of their growth. I went through a period of time where I had a relationship that I was very invested in, and it ended badly. And it took me a long time to be able to, you know, work through. In the beginning, it's easy to blame someone else and remember everything bad they did. But in reality, you have to look at both your role and their role. And I'll probably go into that more under, you know, 911 relationship rescue, just to give you an idea of the nature. I really do it in satire, because I am completely a junkie when it comes to graphics. But I have a graphic on there that says, if you're happy and you know it, thank your ex. And that should give you an idea of the flavor. I'm talking about the mistakes we both make. You know, there is no such thing as just one person. We have the choices to make the decisions in our life. Everything is a choice. We can choose, but we can not suffer the consequences of our choices, which is why when I'm teaching parenting, I teach chances, choices, and consequences. First, you explain to a child what it is that you expect from them. Make sure that they're not saying, yeah, I got it. Because I used to work in residential treatment, and, you know, the workers would have somebody down in a restraint. And when it was all done and everything, that I would say, well, what happened? And they said, well, they were arguing about this or they were arguing about that. And I said, well, did you have a talk with them about it? Yes, we did. And I said, and you agreed on how it was going to be handled? And they're like, well, I told them. And I said, I know, but was it your agenda or was it their agenda? Because you must invest the person that you're dealing with in business, in relationships, in general. And so you make sure that the person understands you have choices. You don't have to do what I'm telling you to do. You can do whatever you want. I am going to give you some insight into what can happen should you make certain decisions. That's my job. That's my profession. That's my gift. So then there are chances. Because you may not have made sure that it was the person's agenda, whether it be your mate, your partner, your employee, your child, well, whoever it may be, if it's not also their agenda, then you have to give them a chance. You have to explain again, and this time you need to make sure that they understand exactly what it is that they're supposed to be working on. However, if they still decide to make a choice, and the choice is a bad one, they must face the consequences. And this is where parenting in this day and age really needs a kick in the pants, because the problem is parents are busy working, or they're dealing with the economy, whatever they're dealing with, they are not being consistent with their children. And children need that consistency. They need those boundaries. Of course they're going to fight you. That's their job, you know, as they're growing into their adulthood. It's their job to challenge you. I always tell mothers and teenage daughters, I said, there can only be one dominant female in any pack. I said, so once your daughter gets to be the age where she wants to exercise her dominant female, whereas you've been the dominant female all of the time, that's where the arguing comes from. So you pick your arguments, you know, make them be meaningful, because after a while, just like anything else, and I dare anyone to tell me that it's not true, but when somebody says something to you over and over and over and over and over again, after a while, it becomes white noise. They don't really hear you. They just, you know, it's like that commercial, boop, 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 boop. And that's so true. They don't, it's white noise. A long time ago, I was a really young mother, and I had a mentor who was about 10 years older than I was. And I would, you know, complain that, you know, I could be around, my children would have, you know, no reason to come to me whatsoever. And as soon as the telephone rang, or as soon as I was in the middle of something, all of a sudden they wanted my attention. And my mentor taught me, she says, that's what they call mother torture tricks. It's because they know that they're interrupting you, and they're hoping that they're going to get what they want, because you're going to want to make them stop. So here's a piece of advice for me. I give it freely, and I also, again, I do mentor people in their parenting. When a child throws a tantrum, I always make it perfectly clear to children when I'm working with them, you know what, the first thing is that I don't understand cry. So if you're crying, I can't understand what you're trying to tell me. So you need to breathe. You need to stop crying so that I can understand you. I'm sorry, I don't understand cry. And the second thing that you need to make clear to them is the quickest way to not get what you want from me is to throw a tantrum. And you have to be consistent. Children need that. Adults need that. Everyone needs that. In order for their lives to go along, and, you know, you need, life has changed, and you have to learn how to hit the floor running when life begins to throw challenges at you. I said earlier, everybody has a gift. No one's left out. Everybody, it's inherent in our DNA. We're all psychic, you know, because that was a skill that our ancestors needed, like the cavemen, to know when something was dangerous or whatnot. And I would teach parents all the time, you know, keeping your child away from something is not always the best method. I mean, if a caveman never let his child outside of the cave, if the child ever got outside the cave without the caveman knowing it, he could walk up to a dinosaur as quickly as he could walk up to a tree, and he would not know the difference. So sometimes you have to let them a very good friend of mine taught me a lesson a long time ago, and I share it with everyone, and I believe it fully. There is a certain point in life where you have to let people, you have to step back, and you have to let people have their destiny, because it's their journey. You can walk with them a part of the way. I've been many, many places in the maps of people's minds and circumstances, and I've wandered, and I've learned, and I've read, and I've taught. So I have a lot of experience. However, it's not my journey. I can't tell someone what to do. No one can. It's your journey and your journey alone. But it helps sometimes when you're confused or when you have any kind of emotion that is stopping you from being able to move forward, is to be able to understand where does that emotion come from. And I am not referring to therapy. There is a metaphor that we use in neurolinguistics. Therapy, when you're working with a therapist, it's like looking in the rearview mirror all the time, because you're looking at what you came from, which has its purpose sometimes, but it doesn't talk about now. When you're working with a coach or a mentor or some other type of healer, you are able to look out the passenger windows of the car, you know, because you can see the here and now, and you can make decisions. And as you work on your spiritual growth, you can also look through the windshield at where do you want to go. If you don't know where you want to go, like the Cheshire Cat says to Alice, Alice says, I don't know where I am. And Cheshire Cat says, well, where do you want to go? And Alice says, I don't know. And the Cheshire Cat says, well, if you don't know who you are and you don't know where you're going, then it really doesn't matter where you go, does it? And I think I'll leave you with that message. Please visit my website, www.outofthetangledweb.com, or you can email me, Nia@outofthetangledweb.com. I will very shortly, unfortunately, my website and my radio show, I've got to coordinate everybody so that you will find my Facebook links and my LinkedIn links and everything else. And understand, I am the best friend. No, I'm better than the best friends, because your best friend loves you. And so they're going to give their opinion. I'm not going to give you my opinion. When you tell me something, I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to repeat it back to you, and we're going to figure out together. But you will never, ever hear me tell you what to do. It's not my job. So, thank you for coming to my show. This was my very first show, and so I decided that I was going to invite as a guest me, myself, and Nia. Hopefully so that you understand a little bit about what I'm about. Yes, I can do all the things on my accreditation page, but no, I don't want to be a therapist anymore. I will mentor, I will coach, I will teach, and I will listen. I will always listen. I can't promise you that what I'm going to tell you is going to be something that you want to hear, but I can promise you that what I tell you will be the truth. And that is a promise that I make to each and every person that I work with. I tell them, I don't see any point in lying to you. You can't make decisions about the world if you're basing it on lies. So I tell them, I tell you the truth, but I expect you to tell me the truth also. And it's a matter of trust. And with that, I guess I can say thank you for listening. I hope you come to my website. It's not completely done, but it's getting there. And I have a radio show, as you know, because you're listening to it. And I'm hoping that people will call in and ask me questions.